Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, you are listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove. Unfortunately, Louie Wildove is under the weather and won't be able to host the show tonight. So yeah, this is Gray Eyes Smith. And this show is brought to you from a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com filled with poetry from poets from around the world. So feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on selections from the blanket permission list and carryovers from last Saturday's Bad Company show. So that's what tonight's show is. And I'm going to go to those phone lines here. Hello and welcome, Laurent.
Hey, good evening, Gray. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Glad to have you. Glad you're feeling a little better. And I'm going to bring Pam on. Hello, Pam.
Hey, Gray. Hey, Lawrence. Good to hear you both. Man, when you said Gray Eyes Smith, I was expecting you to say, and I like my martini shaken, not stirred.
Right. That's funny. Fantastic, Pam. Okay, so I'm going to grab the first link here. This is by Budo. And he has a SoundCloud, so. Okay, so there's that. Here comes the SoundCloud. Oh, no sound.
I'm heading out today. I'm leaving it all behind. I'm taking roads less traveled. I'm gonna free my mind. I'm gonna live my life like I want to.
That was the wrong link for the song. So I apologize to Budo and everybody else for that. Okay, well, would you mind reading that for me, Lawrence?
Sure, I'll be happy to. You're talking about the one
Thank you
put up, right? Sunrise?
Yeah.
Okay. Sunrise by Budo. Dawn shows her face again in rays of gold champagne. Peeking through the folds of yesterday. She yawns and beams a lofty rise. It comes as no surprise, gleaming charity to greet the day. She breathes a sigh for me. She seethes and cries for me. To listen and to learn, to quench undying thirst. It's simple when truth comes first. To be set free, to be set free. Now, I sit and ponder back to times, reflections past, the do's and don'ts that last a lifetime. I sip relics I handmade, a sepia tincturade, characters in play, from day to day. She breathes a sigh for me, she seethes and cries for me. To listen and to learn, to quench a dying thirst. It's simple when truth comes first. To be set free, to be set free. She breathes a sigh for me. She seethes and cries for me. End poem.
Fantastic read, Lauren. And what a touching poem. Shows her face again. Dawn shows her face again in rays of gold champagne, peeking through the folds of yesterday. Just beautiful lines right there. To listen and to learn, to quench undying thirst is simple and truth comes first. To be set free, to be set free. You know, when the love of another sets you free, that's a beautiful thing. What did you think, Pam?
I really like this. It's absolutely beautiful, just a wonderful lyrics. I like how it comes across as a personification of Dawn, but could actually also apply to a person. And I really liked it all the way through, but my favorite lines are to listen and to learn, to quench undying thirst is simple when truth comes first. Now I sin ponder back to times reflective past, the do's and don'ts that last a lifetime. You know, everybody seems to have their time of the day where when they think they're best, when they're most reflective. And I like that this is about personal reflection at the start of the day. So, wonderful light and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Lauren, what did you think?
It's a poetic greeting to the day with emphasis on truth. Because only with truth can you be set free. To listen and to learn, to quench undying thirst is simple when truth comes first. And I agree with Pam on the recollection. And if you're going to sit there and recollect, And if you can prove to yourself that what you've spoken and what you've done is always the truth or worth doing, then you can indeed be special enough to have Dawn breathing and crying for you. Excellent piece.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Pam, would you mind reading for Jack Tomkovic?
I'd be happy to do that. All right. This is Angel Witch by Jack Tomkovic. And it goes like this. a mix of angel and witch, my sexy Snow White, naive temptress, temple of tempest, and the smooth marble altar beckons. Debutante, debauchee, how you flood my senses, a tidal wave of woman and soft wash of surf that swells to 20-foot crest. White cap and choppy, I'm a sandcast to stand against, so voluptuous a shoreline, hills and dales, valleys and forests, up for the task, gentle kisses I ask, and home.
That was a beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, this is descriptive and image-filled, you know, of a wonton soft wash of surf that swells to 20-foot crest, white clasps and choppy. I am a sandcastle to stand against, so voluptuous a shoreline. Hills and dales, valleys and forests, up for the task, gentle kisses I have. Just a beautiful creation of art there. What did you think, Lawrence?
I love the metaphors of this. I love the phrasing. I love the title. I think Angel Witch is one of those things that has a certain hook to it. Angel Witch, yeah. Great character, Angel Witch. He talks about his senses being a tidal wave of woman and soft wash of surf that swells to 20-foot crest. And who is he? He's but a sandcastle to stand against so voluptuous a shoreline. And, you know, he doubts whether he's up for the task. And with an angel wish, he might not be. Wish, like Snow White, naive temptress. It's important that a temptress be naive, because whatever she's tempting you with is quite pure. But the minute they're not, there's trouble. I like Angel Witch a lot.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what did you think?
I really enjoyed this. I thought it had clever imagery and metaphors. I like that it has the sensuality, but as Lawrence mentioned, also has that little bit of humor. And I like how it's, you know, the metaphors come across, like where it says, I'm a sandcastle, stand against so voluptuous shoreline. It comes across to me as a woman who's not only sensually, physically, but has a strength of personality. And so just an excellent write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show. Hello, Sawa.
Sorry, I was on mute. Hello, everyone. How are you?
Both well, Sawa.
Good, thank you.
Bonsoir. Hello.
Nice to hear
you. And everyone.
Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you
for calling in. Did you get a chance to hear the poem?
No, actually, I was reading while you were commenting, and I just, like, signed. I'm sorry, I really signed up of it. I was there. I don't know how I signed up. I'm sorry. I had to sign back.
That's okay. Thank you. And I appreciate
you
calling.
You're welcome.
Okay, so here we have... it's not here. No link for that last poem. Skip that one. I'm going to grab up the one. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Sawa.
Yes.
Which
poem? Momoka? Oh, from the Grave?
No, it's by Cheyenne.
By Cheyenne? Okay. Thank you. By Cheyenne, Tale from a Grenade by Cheyenne Yang. How adorable you could on my splotchy rash, berry blemishes on an apple tree. The ripe apple can do nothing but fall, and a bleeding sap discover itself from a pomegranate. Cooling down, I smile. The fever, my brain is, my heart is, my blood is red. I'm dying. Kiki, how dramatic. Help. Just say, help. you said, without the spot of red on your face and the phone.
that was funny. One to leave. And, you know, interesting, right? You know, I'm just going to read her prompt here. It says, I'm blushing scarlet pomegranate and lament that there are so blue fruits in the world, nor blue blood. There are no blue fruits in the world, no blue blood. Interesting, right? What did you think, Lauren?
This is a very interesting poem. The personification, well, it's not really a personification. That first stanza, how adorable you cooed at my splotchy rash, very blemishes on an apple tree. And what can a ripe apple do but fall? But in falling discovers it's different. It's not an apple at all. It's a pomegranate. And I like what he does with, it's a fever, my brain is, my heart is, my blood is red, I'm dying. It's very interesting how she has, how the poet uses the next to the last stanza, cheeky, how dramatic, help, just say help, to kind of establish a relationship that may not be readily apparent in the beginning. Help, just say help, he said, without a spot of red. Whatever. Actually, I'm going to leave it right there. Great piece.
Thank you, Lauren. Excellent comment. And Pam, what did you think?
I really thought this was a wonderful brevity. She has great use of imagery, and I like how she uses the imagery to describe how, you know, some people just blush at every little thing, and some people just can remain cool and calm. And she has these two people together in this moment of just, you know, loving and accepting each other. And so just a wonderful write and very well done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think?
I really like it. It's very humorous, but at the same time, I see something, like, especially because of her AP, you know, when she said there are no blue fruits in the world, nor blue blood. It's almost like it doesn't matter what you really, what are your roots or what color you are. I don't know, that's what I see here. But there's much more than that. She's really, it's really funny how she made it like almost theater, watching apple falling and turning to playing with the colors and with the words. Really unique, very, very interesting. Right.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Sawa. I appreciate it. Okay. I've got the next link in here. And this one has a SoundCloud. Okay, there's that. I just need to get to the link. Okay, here we go.
Endless fight. What is the case this time? I said. Mr. Mind and Miss Heart is fighting again? I sigh and place my hand on my forehead. This will be a long battle again. Walking slowly and thinking of what to do or what to say. In front of the door, I can hear them fighting. I kick the door to announce my presence, but no one can see me. Silence! I shouted, and everyone stopped and looked at me. I seated on the judge's throne, reading all the info in the case. Mr. Mind, would you like to start? Mr. Mind stood up and fixed his tie. I should be the one taking care of her. You know, Miss Hart always gave her bad things. She hurt her, even made her cry, always. That's not true, Miss Hart shouted. You always stop her in doing the things she loves, or even stopping her to fall in love. You don't want her to be happy. I am just protecting her. Look, Judge, she fell in love multiple times. She was hurt, broken, and even dying. I can't let that happen again. Miss Hart started crying. I give up, Judge. Let Mr. Mind control her. That's right. Just give up. Pathetic. I am not pathetic. I just don't want her to hurt more. Ah, maybe you want me to look bad in front of the judge. They kept on fighting. They don't want to give up. I'm tired just by looking at them. I stand, hold my gavel, and hammer the block. Enough! I heard enough. This will be an endless chaos. Why? Can you just get along? Why do I need to choose? You both have a point. You both want to protect me. Out of tiredness, I kneel in front of them. Please, just please give me my peace. Stop this endless fight inside me. End of poem.
Well, she did a wonderful job on her SoundCloud. It was beautifully done. But I like the struggle between, you know, finding inner peace between the mind and the heart. It can be tricky sometimes. Yeah, this is definitely accounting for that. What did you think, Lauren?
That eternal struggle between mind and heart is a struggle, a battle we all face. Should I do the right thing, even though I know it may backfire on me? Should I do the wrong thing, even though I know it may backfire on me? We're always fighting that fight. And I love the way she chose dialogue to illustrate the struggle. And it's good dialogue. It stands up under inspection. I like the rationale. You don't want her to be happy. I am just protecting her. And I think that's important. You know, one wants to protect the other. The other wants to be free of it. Please, I have things to do. And, of course, the heart and the mind belong to the poet who wrote this. And it's a nice enough struggle and well illustrated by the poem.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what did you think?
I really liked that. I felt like the SoundCloud wasn't just a reading. She did a performance with the changing of the voices and the back and forth dialogue. I like how she personified the heart and the mind and the inner struggle, and how it brought her to the point of shouting out enough, and then that brought her down on her knees just begging for them to find a way to get along. I thought that added a really emotional punch to it. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think?
I agree with everyone. It's really, I had to put myself on mute because I was laughing. It's really a very interesting write. I loved her presentation. And who doesn't struggle between the mind and the heart? It was really captivating. And I love, I mean, I really don't know which one I like. I like all of them. The one that Laurent picked, and also at the end, really, there's no win. And she's right. You just want to find your peace, because especially when you're pulled between the two, you can make up your mind. So she really did. present this very well.
Thank you, Sawa. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Intimidus Rex, and he has a SoundCloud.
Hoc vero rotundum ortum est mare tumultuosum. A voice of romanticism, words etched in a rough-hewn stone lintel. Death be that language now. Lasciate ogni speranza voi che entrate. Tallow bleeds through ebon shafts quasi-flickering. My ivory skull, indifference, drawn across that veil of shadows, barring exodus. Whipping the rip in crepes, purpling lash. Wristed cries echoing off that quarried mass, 3 meters thick, to beat the brow of salted reflections sunk bone deep. Innocence and licorice, but grim membranes of a soul long past sainted prayers, as a sinner's bucket is a shite filth, aromatic dungeon where rats are friends, then treats for the leaded gruel on which I dine. Hello, Pater. I now descend with no last rites. I cannot mend. Forgive the depths to which I crawl. He hath made my bed, and this suit is a corpsed bride of dementia for his Torrentia. Chateau d'If, tuas insulae mortis, tuus ingressum puncto ad infernum. You are mine. Sing for me. Sing for me in notes of ripped flesh. Cry me rivers of blood, for you are mine evermore.
Wow, that was epic. I love the read on that. Just fantastic performance. And what a, you know, definitely a deeply felt piece of inner struggle between life and death and living. I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Lawrence?
Rex is a man of impeccable credentials when it comes to poems. Whenever he writes a poem, and really writes a poem, I mean, treats it seriously, wow, it always blows me away. You know, when you can use Latin as intelligently as he does, it's an absolute gravitas poem, and the right music in the background, something a little dark, something a little worrisome, it adds so much, and then to have the reading be as good as his was, well, when you're all done, you've got a hell of a poem. I really like Innocence and Liberty, the grim membranes of a soul long past sainted prayers, the shite-filled aromatic nuts, our friends, the feet of the gruel on which I died, sends a chill right off my spine. There's a lot of depth to this. He didn't sing it. It almost feels that the beach will have great.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I really like this. Rex is just always a stunning poet, and that, again, is just a wonderful performance. Love the laugh and the background music. I like that he throws in the use of the Latin. I really like how this is about that soul that doesn't get saved, that doesn't repent, and there's such a sense of a finality of suffering for doing wrong. At least that's kind of what I get from it. But the nice thing about exes, right, is it's right there. They often have a sense of duality to them. And I like this all the way through, but I especially like where you said innocence and licorice, but remembering of a foul, long passing with prayers as their sinners bucket of a shite, filled aromatic dungeon. Just powerful imagery there, and very well done.
Oh,
I agree with everyone. I mean, I'm glad it's not abstract because I cannot. I mean, this time it's very deep as always. It is the soul who tortures the, and I feel like the Latin very like I love how he mixed the two because and how he starts with it and ends with it. It's the Timotheus, like C, I think, Mars, Timotheus, and then at the end, he's talking about hell, how he doesn't want to try to escape the hell. Like, very, very interesting. I had to read it really multiple times because it's very deep. I'm not used to his right, but it's really beautiful. I love how his performance as well. So beautifully done.
Thank you, Zawa.
Kind of
appreciate that.
Scary. Kind of scary.
I have the next poem up. It's by Victoria Frost, and she has a SoundCloud.
My story has been written from all the time. From the time I spent with you, giving up all of my love, giving up my life, all control I give to you. I don't know why you don't stay, just stay here in my bed and play. Why must you always push me away, away? You can die another day. I don't know why you don't stay, just stay here in my bed and play. Why must you always push me away, away? You can die another day. You can die another day. So I surrender all of myself, I give to you my mind, heart, body, and soul. Tease me and tantalize me till you are mine and we forget about tomorrow. I don't know why you don't stay, just stay here in my bed and play. Why must you always push me away, away? You can die another day. I don't know why you don't stay, just stay here in my bed and play. Why must you always push me away, away? You can die another day. You can die another day.
Wow, that was beautifully done. You know, it had a great rhythm and flow to it, you know, and her singing was spot on. I thought it was a beautifully crafted piece. And what did you think, Lauren?
Our story has been written from all the time, from the time I spent with you, giving up all my love, giving up my life, all control I give to you. How wonderful to hear a poet read more than to hear her sing, and sing well. Her words marrying melody to text. I thought this poem was a marvelous achievement.
Beautifully said. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what did you think?
I thought this was a beautifully written song, and she has such a wonderful voice. She did a great job with this recording, and I really like how she keeps asking the question, you know, like the question about, you know, why do you want to leave? Why do you want to walk away from me? You know, stay here. Let's enjoy our time together. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Salwal, what did you think?
I really love that. She just had a beautiful voice, and I love how she gave this twist to Die Another Day of James Bond. She just really did an amazing job, and I think she won a gold on this, so well deserved. New signature on I love this movie, and she did it, give it justice by changing. I mean, she kept the sense of it, but gave it a beautiful twist at the same time.
Well said, thank you. Thank you, Sawa. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I have a SoundCloud by Casey Day here. I'm going to post that to the group. Okay, there's that. And here goes the SoundCloud.
A spring shower. It starts with a slow trickle, a misting over glass. We grasp at subtleties, then suddenly there's thunder. A kiss, wet lips, a shudder, holding our intentions in our chests, obsessed with a tender tingle, lightning, bathing in electricity. We dance like ocean tides, hiding parts of our hearts inside each other. Sweat and bedsheets. Our eyes meet. I taste the sweetness of you like morning dew. I beg the sun to stay away. Oh, but I'll set and she'll rise, leaving rainbows in your eyes. And I, just another cloud in your sky.
That was beautifully done. An excellent sound cloud as well. But, you know, such a touching write. You can feel this happening here. A misting over glass, we grasp all subtleties. Then suddenly there's thunder, a kiss, wet lips, a shudder. Holding our intentions in our chests, obsessed with the tender tingle. Lightning, bathing in electricity, we dance like ocean tides. Just immaculate imagery there. What did you think, Lauren?
I beg the sun to stay away. Oh, but I'll set and she'll rise, leaving rainbows in your eyes. And I, just another cloud in your sky. The thunder is in the kiss. The dance, a powerful metaphor for the physicality of the two. But then, those last five lines, powerful and moving, without the regret being overdone. You seem to accept your replacement with aplomb. I thought this was very clever and well written.
Well done. Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful, sensual brevity. I really like her use of imagery and the lines, in our chest obsessed with the tender tingle, lightning, bathing in electricity, dance like ocean tides. Absolutely beautiful and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Salwa, what did you think?
Oh, I love it. I heard it about maybe 5 months ago, and I really love it still hearing it again. She has such a beautiful voice, too. And it's really romantic, passionate, but as at the ending, she really realized that that's unfortunately not what she wanted to be, but she accepted it, as Laurent said. I really love the same, funny, same stanza that you picked, Laurent. Really powerful, beautiful read and a beautiful imagery.
Fantastic comment, Ella. Thank you. Okay, so grab the next right here. And this is by We Are All Gonzo. And he has a SoundCloud. There's that. Okay. There we go.
While skulking in my bed, feeling more than one half dead in the deep of REM provided, where down comforters resided, rested thoughts of dread I heavily bore. In between the realms, where reality underwhelms, I hear a buzzing from the lofty helms scurrying upon the floor. Lights flick into mended beams, while the buzzing began to increase, a text it seemed to be for me in such woe, I'm sure. Unwarranted and unkindly, rest that suddenly found me finally to the rift that drifted blindly, blind to the stains of pain on my plain linen decor. I blankly replied without typing, since surely I'd only be griping, so enraged my sorrow tightens and tightens to my core. Still no sound was heard abound, except more buzzing to be found. A text from no one special, of this I am sure, fall asleep and spy a peep of who I loved before. Tightened my grip unto her ether, realized I could not be here for any longer than a waking roar. The jarring snore turned to grumble, I decided awake was too much trouble, as a rumble emanated from a closed dresser drawer. Wide-eyed I'd pounce, blood boiling, building anger by the ounce. Would you cease this confounded sound, lest my sanity restore? I lies, that meek and mild, so weak and wise, but on this crescent moon so high, I need him skulking sore! Wretch that day once heart did say, as I stuttered out some calming lore. No longer did I ponder in a grief that continued to bother the name familiar somber thoughts of my lover adored. Impossible to be it karma, history, or fate, follow destiny she did so happily into an early grave. Cross lines and wires hid my desire to believe there was an encore. To sleep, perchance to dream of her, together forevermore. A simple plan to execute, but when said aloud, pride will refute and decide pomp and circumstance, denying myself the gore. Wearily inept, I slumped as I crept towards a fatal jump, numb as I breached the border, crossing the window like a door. In one side and out the other, to reunite us with one another, no longer will I slumber to see who I was living for. Bright-eyed, I smile, ending my self-imposed exile. She shows me what's worthwhile and what's not anymore. I made the right decision. Of this, I am sure.
Wow, that was fantastic, SoundCloud. You know, what a deeply reflective vision of insanity here, you know. And then ultimately death. And you know, did I make the right decision? I made the right decision of this, I am sure. Just haunting its totality. What did you think, Lauren?
From beginning to end, this thing evokes Edgar Allan Poe. The reading and the cadence that he chose, fast, for each long line and a pause, was remarkably effective. This is a true performance piece, and I think that the way he used music and the full panoply of what a reader can bring to a poem, he brought to this one. There's an intensity and an open emotion in this that is really pretty remarkable. It's impossible not to feel as you read, as you listen to this particular piece. Outstanding.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And what did you think, Pam? Oh, Pam's not back yet. Sala, what did you think?
Yeah, this is the second time I hear it, and it still moves me deeply. He has so much talent. It's incredible. I mean, the read, the music, the putting together. And I felt like watching, whenever I hear his performance like this, watching a scene of, without energy, just like to have to imagine it. with so much decays, like literally watching him, what he's doing, and all the emotion that comes with it. And I, what did I write back then? Layers and layers of deep reflection about making the right decision. And I read incredibly, insanely, beautifully, so captivating. Really outstanding and amazing. What a challenge.
Thank you, Sala. And Louie Wilder, welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Where's that
girl? Hello. Hi, Sala. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Laurent. Hi, Gray. Who else is
Hi,
on?
Dear.
I'm not sure.
Pam, but she stepped away.
Hi, Pam. Yeah, she's back, but she didn't. She said she didn't get a chance to hear the poem.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you for updating me on that, and thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. Okay, so this is by Ma'am Ya, and I'm going to post this to the group. Okay, there we go. Now I need to get the SoundCloud. Here we go.
It's been 4 months since my stint in the ER because of an overdose. 4 months since I tried to be honest with myself and what I feel. 4 months since I had the courage to call it quits. For 2 months after that, I've been constantly monitored for self-destructive behavior. 2 months of, don't close the door to the bathroom. No, you can't go to the balcony. Keep away from sharp objects. And no watching Netflix alone. I try to fight back. Crying out that I feel attacked. Bargaining with my handler, saying that I'll be good and I won't do it again. But please give me my privacy. But you don't get any privacy. Not when you've been bad. Now, I'm more or less back to my old self, to my smiling self, to my acquiescent self. I'm back to wearing my invisible mask that portray a well-adjusted adult. But each time I hold a knife, I imagine how its edge would feel caressing my scarred skin, like a lover thirsty for companionship. I'd look at that silvery edge, then breathe, and pull myself back to peel the potatoes first too. I'd go to the balcony and look down from 16 stories up and see myself splattered all over the pavement. Me snucking, I'd move away from the railings that look so, so flimsy and say to myself, I'm okay. My husband would ask me if I'd like to binge watch with him. Of course I'd say yes. All the while I wanted nothing more than to bury my head under the pillows and hide my face because I'm afraid he'd see past the emptiness I feel that I cannot fill. He would ask me in the middle of watching Jensen Ackles doing stunts if I'm okay. I say yes. My kids would ask for hugs at night and I'd give it to them. But they don't know that I needed it more because I feel like breaking up into a million pieces and they are the glue that are holding me together. How can I tell my kids that I'm weak? That I want them to have a mother who's whole? They deserve a mom who is not me. Still, I smile at them and hug them and kiss them goodnight. I saw a therapist yesterday. She asked me how I was feeling. I said, I'm okay.
Wow, that was a wonderful SoundCloud and such a heart-wrenching poem. You can feel the desperation, the sadness, the loneliness that she feels in her daily existence, even though she's surrounded by a family. I thought it was just a wonderfully, wonderfully crafted piece. What did you think, Laurent?
Well, fantastic piece. And I can really appreciate what was written in the AN about lying until you believe it yourself. that's really the way to lie, and it is. You're absolutely sincere about the lie. You can, after a little while, and it's not that hard, begin to believe it. She shows such a naked portion of herself in this piece, that part that feels that she's completely, well, she says, I feel like breaking up into a million pieces when she speaks about her children, or the glue that is holding her together. But what really got me is I wanted nothing more than to bury my head under the pillows and hide my face, because I'm afraid he'd see past the emptiness I feel that I cannot fill. That's a vast space, the emptiness inside of us. Sometimes it goes on without end for years. Yeah, painful to write, painful to read, but there's an acknowledgement of skill here, of the way the poet constructs the lines and presents herself with a great beginning. 4 months since my stint in the ER because of an overdose. Now she begins, you immediately get gripped by what's going on, and you immediately understand where this poem is coming from. Fantastic job by Manuel.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what did you think?
This is just absolutely a powerful and emotive write. I love that she writes about a difficult experience and subject, and the subject of depression, severe depression, and the struggle with it, and that, you know, it can happen to anybody. And I think it's such a wonderful thing that, you know, that she was able to put herself out there, and just really a powerful write and very well done.
Very common, thank you. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh my goodness, I'm really moved by it deeply. It's very, it takes a lot of courage to write such a thing. And you can feel her pain and her struggle in every word. I'm sure a lot of women have been there in a way or another. And the same lines that Laurent really made me emotional, are exactly moved me deeply, because those something that I kind of associate with, and you lie truly until you wake up. It's everyone has a different story, and everyone go through, but this is so digging deep in your bone and your heart. I hope things will get better for you.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Lee, what did you think?
Well, you know, I found this immensely sad, you know, to have to deal with all of this. You know, so many of us deal with darkness and depression and drug problems. And, you know, and sometimes what we need to do is we need to step back, because, you know, she's a mother, she's a wife, she has responsibilities, is to take care of yourself. You know, I mean, how many of us have not told people, yeah, I feel great, when we feel like crap, you know? You know, and you know, yes, but, you know, to me, somebody, the most beautiful people are those that have issues and that are broken. And just like for me, when I see a stained glass mural, it's all broken glass. And when somebody takes the time to love it and to develop it into something and make it a work of art, we can see the beauty. And, you know, and to me, this is the same thing as with a poet or a lyricist or a songwriter. These are their beautiful broken glass where they're putting themselves together, and it takes time. You know, but one thing I can say, if she just keeps moving forward, she will be the best example. Anybody, when you pick up your big girl pants and your big boy underwear and you
put on them combat boots, and you just sometimes you got to crawl before you can stand. And, you know, that's what your children need to see, because you will get them ready to have to deal with things in life. You know, you're not always going to be perfect. None of us are. Love you, ma'am.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you. Do you? Okay, I have one more here with SoundCloud. It's by Eric Svensson. And I'll post the link. There we go. SoundCloud.
Calla Lily Lady.
Oh, no.
Stricken Calla Lily Lady.
I don't think that's it.
That's not it.
Uh-uh.
Okay. Pam, would you mind reading this for me?
I would be happy to. All right. This is Erstwhile by Eric Svensson, and it goes like this. Yawing of chain, inevitable as defecation needs to be flushed away, ice-cold white porcelain vestibule stands aloof. Unaffected by pain, callous counsel not in the business of consoling. Condolences grew dimly thin. Gnaw of last fall's day, lucid leaves drop. Give up the ghost and florid flush. Death rattle of rust red. Brocaded lace handkerchief drops. Hickory wood coughing indifferent. Erstwhile, contemplation calcate. Rolled in pregnant sky belly bulge. Squatted over filigree falls effigy. Like threadbare banting flags at fair, town square bandstand marooned, empty conductor winter's baton quivered, kindness from kestrel eyes, clear white porcelain flecks around the iris, head cocked aside, the bird commiserates, peculiar light emanates from its eyes, as if such a creature comprehends this death of a mate. Confirmation comes in high-pitched, clean, killing notes, yank of realization chain, inevitable as defecation needs to be flushed away. Would a spring death have lessened separation's pain? Kind kestrel responds with long, bulky whine. First tentative snowflakes makes their presence known. Dandelion dance of her last breath, butter. White porcelain hand, ice cold, high-pitched kestrel clee killy again. Remember her peaceful face, crimson crush, as you kissed her kind lips. And boom.
Wow, that was beautifully read, Pam. And, you know, it's definitely a powerful poem, speaking to death and the change of seasons. I thought it was beautifully expressed. What did you think, Laurent?
I can do little but agree with you. As usual, it's a complex, layered, and beautifully written piece by Eric. Almost any one of these stanzas will do. I particularly like kindness from kestrel eyes, clear white porcelain flecks around the iris, head cocked aside, the bird commiserates, peculiar light emanates from his eyes, as if such a creature comprehends the death of a mate. What a wonderful way to illustrate the emotions felt, and assigning the understanding of that emotion to the kestrel. Beautifully done.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Laurent. And Pam, what did you think of the story you read?
Oh, I really liked this one. I liked how he combines grief with nature and the kind of connection between the bird and the person grieving. And how, you know, he just really just wonderful, clever imagery, and the whole idea that, you know, we have to let go and you know, there's a time to grieve and a time to move on. And sometimes it's just you have to be stuck in the moment of grieving. You have to be there in that moment. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Sal, what did you think?
Oh, I love his writing too. It's really amazing. He had a way to pick the perfect imagery and verbiage. And he did, there's a lot of repetition that really confirm what he's saying with the white porcelain, the yak and yank of realization of chain. It's so powerful, and he just tried to get the message through us. I love how you say yak and yank of realization chain. That is as defecation needs to flush away. It is cycle of life that we cannot stop it. With spring, death have lessened separation pain. This question also make you reflect and think. And he answered it in his last stanza. There will be a crimson crush as you kissed her kind lips. But remember her peaceful face. It is sad, but you have to go through it, and you have to. It's part of life. It's really well done. I really enjoyed this one. This should be in the front page. I really like it very much. I'm going to nominate it.
Both great comment. Thank you, Stella.
Yeah.
And Louie, what did you think?
You know, do we ever really stop mourning? Yes, we learn to deal with the, you know, missing. You know, I don't miss the people that have passed away. And sometimes, with these metaphors, when we go out into nature, the different memories that are triggered by them. And I really love the way Pam read this. And especially that last stanza, because it just hits you right there in the kisser. I enjoyed this poem.
That was a wonderful comment, Louie. Thank you. Okay, Lawrence, I have your write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. This poem was intended to be about Edgar Allan Poe, or at least written, inspired by him. On a contest that Pam is doing. But after I finished the poem, I realized that I had not done what I needed to do. So I'm writing another one for that particular contest, Pam. And this one, sometimes the brain does not listen to itself.
Right.
All right, this one is called Irrefutable. As the hours gape at me, gawking at my white night with the bleakest of smiles, I sense intrusion of the subtlest kind, a finger of motion, an errant eddy of air, signals I was not alone. Leather-bound volumes do not stir, save that they are plucked from the shelf, index finger inching it free of its fellows, pulled forward, chafing its neighbors. Dracula, an early edition, in faded red and gold leather, floated free. Breath gusted noisily, indrawn, my hands at my throat, as a volcano pulsed within my breast, threatening to choke me with fear of the disembodied, extant but invisible before my eyes. Pages fell open to a bookmark, tissue thin in its yellow-white age. Motion paused, breath in hand. Excuse me. Motion paused, breath held. My two staring eyes opened like the gibbous moon. Dark and deep the voice that broke heavy silence, reading from the page. Oh, the terrible struggle that I have had against sleep so often of late. The pain of the sleeplessness, or the pain of the fear of sleep, and with such unknown horror as it has for me. How blessed are some people whose lives have no fears, no dreads, to whom sleep is a blessing that comes nightly and brings nothing but sweet dreams. A pause, followed by despair, has its own calms. Delivered more gently, almost wistfully. Sunlight and broken shafts, stabbing the morning as I awoke, my head filled with the power of last night's dream, this visit from the Prince of Darkness, ironically easing insomnia. I chuckled, then froze, half out of bed, spying Dracula lying on the floor, open, bookmarked, irrefutable.
Run, Lauren, run!
All right.
That was good. Excellent read, Lauren. And, you know, I loved the storyline of your poem, you know, about as the hours gape at me, gawking at my white knight with the bleakest of smiles, I sense intrusion of the subtlest kind, a finger of motion, an errant eddy of air signals. I was not alone. And then, you know, you speak to the books on the shelf and how they, you know, sit there with Dracula in between and it's floating free. Just a beautiful storyline, Lauren. Excellent
job.
Thank
you, Greg.
And you bet. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I really like this. I do want to mention that, you know, Victoria is running a contest about leather-bound books that you might find intriguing, Lauren. When you get a chance, you should check it out.
I will.
But awesome. And what I really like about this is it's both dark and humorous and very relatable to me, to anyone who has stayed up late at night and wants to keep reading, but they're nodding off, and you know, you get to that point where you're reading the same line over and over again, and your eyes are going cross, but you just want to stay engaged with the characters. So I just think this is wonderful use of imagery and just very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Sal, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness. I love how you describe the real fear. Like, we can feel it, how your breath, where is it? My goodness, I can't find it. Breath gusted noisily and drawn, my hands and my toes as a volcano pulsed within my breast, and so on. It's just like amazing description of your fear, and then it changed when you get up in the morning and find him laying on the floor. That's why I never read scary stuff at night or in the morning.
Yeah.
Never. <You're> really good.
Well, I have to ask you people who like horror. I mean, after you watch a horror movie, don't you see shadows and hear noises and creaks and...
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I mean, don't you? Lawrence?
Yes, absolutely, we all do.
Don't when you watch scary stuff, don't you have night frights?
Well, I haven't watched a scary movie in a long time, so you're right.
Yeah, okay, and how about you, Gray, because I know you like terror. And Pam, what about you?
Yeah, your nerves are on edge.
How about you, Pam? Do you watch scary stuff?
What's that?
Did she drop? Do you watch scary stuff? You don't hear, see shadows and hear creaking noises and scared to go to jump in your bed because you don't know what's underneath there.
Oh, little. Don't you know, I don't watch scary movies. I am the scary movie. No, actually, I am very much like that if I watch scary movies.
It was funny.
I get my feet up
scary,
on the couch
yeah.
really quickly.
Oh, my God. How about you, Frank?
Oh,
you
might jump in the conversation here. Yeah, I'm not scary. I love to scare. If there's one thing I enjoy, it's to scare people. And again, I'm an actor.
Well,
but if you're asking, if I'm going to answer your question, I would say, no, it doesn't frighten me because I know it's fiction, so it doesn't scare me. I'm not easily scared. But
yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, some of those people aren't fiction. You know, I mean, for me,
you cannot take me to
a scary movie because I will scare the people in the theater with me jumping and screaming. No way. I have terror. People go, oh, man, where can I pick you up? Because, man, you scared the shit out of us during this whole movie. And I'm just like, no, thank you.
Great comment.
It could be a mom and pop shop with an apple pie or a marranito and a cup of coffee. That's
Brother,
my type
I'm,
of fun.
I'm with you there. A good empanada.
Excellent poem, Laurent. Excellent read. I really enjoyed this. It was suspenseful. Ooh, I like that.
Can I comment on this?
Yeah, please.
Yes, I have to say this was very entertaining. This was very foolish, but I also thought it was very much of a style of there's one thing I really enjoy, and that's psychological horror. And I think Laurent brought us that an episode of psychological horror, where he brought in the vampire, you know, the soldier there with Dracula reading Dracula. The whole elements are setting in the background. Everything that he brought into this piece here, he just wove a wonderful, masterful scene of a fantastic poem. And I really like the way it ended with the satire there. You know, it almost seems that at times the vampires are very out late hours, very much laid out. But you wonder if there is ever a vampire could have insomnia. You know, I do wonder about those things there. But you definitely brought in a fantastic tale tonight, my friend. I really did enjoy this piece here. It's very epic, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. And
oh, you're welcome.
So, well, I have your write-up if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Okay. Yes, I just want to say I read two poems of Frank in the past because I tried to be brave and I had nightmares. Both of them.
I'm so sorry. Je suis désolé. Je suis désolé.
Yeah. It's me, it's not you, unfortunately. I was going to leave after this poem, but I really miss Louis, so I'm going to try to stay as more, even though tomorrow I'm going to suffer.
Yay.
But that's okay.
Okay.
But that's okay. I have to wake up early. Mm. Okay. Oh, autumn. Oh, autumn. Oh, autumn. Ô Tom, tes feuilles envolées sont tombées, brillant une couleur docile sur le ciel pâle, émerveillant mon esprit solitaire, le vent et le ciel ont versé leurs larmes. J'écoutais l'oiseau bleu retentissant son chant, dans un brouillard déjà oublié, avant que l'heure de son départ ne sonne, mon cœur est percé par l'air muet. L'espoir a refusé de s'évanouir en voyant la fleur livrant son parfum au crépuscule. Et moi, je voudrais aller où les papillons tendres s'envolent. Oh, autumn, your leaves are flying and falling, shining a docile color under the pale sun. Marveling my lonely soul, the wind and the sky shed their tears. I listen to the bluebird singing his song. In a fog already forgotten. Before the time for his departure came, my heart got pierced by the silent air. Hope refused to vanish upon seeing the flower delivering her perfume at dusk. And I would like to go where the tender butterflies fly and the song.
Beautifully read, Tala, and such touching, right?
Thank
you.
You
know, you can... Yeah, you're so beautiful. It shines through in your work almost always. And this is no exception to that. What did you think, Lauren?
Thank Lauren? You so much.
You bet.
It's always interesting to look at the English and to look at the French. And Sala does a very good job of offering a good poem in both languages. I love her phrasing. And sometimes you look at a line in French, and it says so much more than the English does, despite the fact that the translation is perfect. You know, when you write in a native tongue, I think you access parts of yourself that you might not be able to if you're writing in a language that was not your native tongue. I mean, for instance, the last line, "Et moi, je voudrais aller où les papillons tendres s'envolent." And it reads, and I would like to go with the tender butterflies fly, but there's something about the word s'envol that is so much more thorough, and it's one word, you know, fly. Because to me, s'envol is take flight, fly away, and everything that comes with that departure, as opposed to the English fly. Now, I may be irrational about this, but that's the way I feel. So it's a beautiful poem in French and in English. I think the French is a standout.
Thank you so much, Laurent.
I agree. Thank you. And would you like to say anything about your rights, Sala?
Oh, I think I wrote it for contest for Tila a while back. I just love nature. That's what I can. And it brings, it just changed my mood if I'm sad or that's what it is. And I'm a dreamer too.
Well, that was a great comment. Thank you, Sala. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
And Lee, what did you think?
You know, I was listening to her and, you know, instantly, you know, it's that feeling of transporting oneself. You know, she has beautiful imagery. And, you know, how many of us wouldn't want to take wings in the sweet air and, you know, to be in cage, to be free, and to just sing our own song and to go, you know, do what we would like or do what we would like with somebody else. And, you know, and this is where I feel like Sawa's beautiful soul was singing. Beautiful Sawa.
Oh, thank you. And I'm sorry, I meant to say Victoria, not Tila. I confused the two poems. It was Victoria contest. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria, I'm sure listening.
Okay,
sorry.
Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I do agree with that here. She has, there is something, what Laurent was saying about the language and the translation. It is, you know, regardless of the language, you know, that you write it originally, it's very difficult at times to get, you know, the whole perspective, you know, to get the, no, not the perspective, to convey the originality. It is somewhat lost in translation. Nevertheless, I thought the poem, you know, I did a collab with Sawa once, and I thought she has a magnificent quill. She has a natural ability to write about nature and how it influences and inspires her. I was very much inspired by that write and how, you know, and afterwards I got to know her more to the sense of her writing. And I really do appreciate that, you know, regardless if it's a happy poem or it's a sad poem or, you know, whatever it be, she always finds a common ground with nature. And that, I would think, is her solace. And I myself find it as well, my solace. So I find myself easily being able to gravitate to her poetry because she makes it so relatable and she uses the metaphors or the elements of nature, you know, and what's around nature to seem so delightful to hear. And, you know, and it's very, very powerful when you think of how much nature can influence you to write.
Thank you so much, Frank. And you,
oh,
there's two collaborations, Frank, not one.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, I do. I'm sorry.
I'm just being silly, that's all. Miss Silly.
No, I'm
that's
sorry. I do. I do.
You don't be sorry. It's okay.
No, that's, I was completely
okay.
You moved me there with that piece. That's why I forgot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't make you feel bad. Sorry.
I have your rate up, Frank, and I'm going to play the SoundCloud.
All right, thank you.
The beautiful one is the only lover whose lips I sip from the morning dew. The sweetest kiss of the purple rain, her eyes shine like crystal amethyst. Her kisses enrapture me in a paisley sheet of her shivering swells roaring like thunder, and I can lose my mind in her sensuality, paint a perfect picture of her exquisite beauty. The beautiful one is the only woman whose passion I drench in its exotic colour. The musical tones of erotic lovemaking echo like the climatic chords of a piano. I can build her an altar to worship her, make love to her in the petals of violets, or I could just nibble from her ears slowly, whispering the dulcet words of seduction. Blindfold as I touch her excited lips with the caressing edge of my fingers until our lips meet at the rendezvous and I put juicy berries into her mouth. I am her tasty temptation all night, the dripping lavender of her candle, the electric spark of her untamed fire, the purple passion of her notes. I'll make her see the stars. I'll take her on a ride to a purple heaven when the doves fly. Oh, I'll make her see the stars. I'll take her on a ride to a purple heaven when the doves fly. What's it gonna be, girl? Do you want him? Or do you want me? Baby, I want you, the beautiful one. I want you. So what's it gonna be, girl? Do you want him? Or do you want me? Oh, baby, I want you, the beautiful one. I want you. Mi amor, mi calor. Ole, ole.
Wonderful read, Frank. Excellent read,
right,
and such a touching
it,
poem.
It was, it was inspired by the Prince song there. The song in the background there was inspired by the Beautiful Ones by Prince.
Right. Yeah. No, it's just a wonderful poem, filled with descriptive and sensual imagery and emotions. What did you think, Lauren?
I thought this was an outstanding effort. I could build her an altar to worship her, make love to her in the petals of violets, or I could just nibble from her ears, slowly whispering the dulcet words of seduction. Really, an outstanding effort. And there's a gentleness to the seduction you perform, offering yourself as choice, with the strength of love in your words. Very tight in the writing. No superfluous words anywhere in this piece. Some shorter lines, perhaps, than you normally have, but I don't know, there's something about this that makes it a little bit different than other things. And, you know, when you titled it Purple Passion, I was ready for an invasion of purple prose, but that didn't happen. you tightened it up, and it's just right, because you've got so many colors initially. The purple rain, crystal amethyst, paisley sheet, the petals of violets, colors, gentleness, dripping lavender of her candle, all the way through this. You use the colors so skillfully. And I like the way, little by little, the stanzas shorten up until down to that last line, I want you. But I got to ask, why did you use the letter U instead of the word U?
Well, I guess it's mostly the symbol there. It's more of a Prince thing, I would think.
Well, it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just curious. Outstanding,
very nice. I'm sure Lou would know about the symbol as well there. I think Prince was very much known for using symbols and short little words there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something I just decided to do with this piece here. I really enjoyed the song, too. That song is fantastic, you know, the beautiful ones. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And that little snippet I took from the ending, I took from the actual song there, you know, it does say in the song, if you hear the original song, you do hear, you know, what's it going to be, you know, do you want him, do you want me, you know, that's actually from the real song itself that I took there.
Right.
Except he does it much better than, he does it better than I do there. Prince does it better than I do. I have to admit to that. I do concede to that. I'm not going to do the yell there, his scream.
Thank you, Frank. Great comments.
Oh, yeah.
And, Mitawa, what did you think?
Where's Bobby? I'm just kidding. I'm sure the beautiful one ended up choosing you, Frank, after this. I can't even speak. Musically romantic and passionate poem. You really know how to write romantic. King of romance.
Really, yeah, I heard you giggle there in the background there. I think that was you giggling there, so I was, I'm not mistaken.
I think both
there.
Of us.
Yes.
Oh,
there
us,
you go.
You and I.
Yeah, both of us were giggling.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
My
excellent
pleasure.
Comment. Excellent comment, Tala. And Liu, what did you think?
Well, at first I answered, I love these lines. And I love those two lines that I heard Frank read and then I heard Laurent read. I mean, to have somebody nibble on your ear slowly and whisper words of seduction, and it just, I mean, and then to blindfold somebody and then to feed them sweet grapes and then to tease their lips and then you to taste the fruit flavors in the mouth, the juices. I said, uy, ay, que caliente, sabroso, uy. Está rica.
I leave you breathless there again. Thank you. I appreciate that. Gracias.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Frank. Okay, I have the next poem.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend. Oh, I have to. Are you asking? I'm not sure if I. Are you asking me?
No, Liu. You.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that.
Ask me what?
And to read, please.
Oh, okay. For a Pam?
Yeah.
A Well of the Time by Pam 8. My love for wells is so great. My heart melts into liquid blue, merging gently within the energy of you. Swimming gracefully alongside, I run into his cheek, eyes bigger than my head. Blinks once and begins to turn away. Sudden tail splash, thrusting me back with great force. His beauty is great, wandering mine till he sees. He has a true friend in me, leaving me entrenched and alone. Tail splash has projected me back into loving, peaceful, compassionate ripples throughout many eons of time. Healing others through your love, communicating on a deeper level. Empathy and intuition will guide me in every step, leading me to sacred carriers, the keepers of the ancient pearls of wisdom, answers to the history of the world, which should never be forgotten. Dwelling in the abyss, where light doesn't reach, the darkness consumes everything. Wells' deep connection leads one to the same within themselves. Beauty is great, a wandering mind, till sees, then too, utter the words, I do, watching my brother Will leaving me behind within a sheet of electric blue. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. Excellent read. And it's a touching rate, you know. You can feel her love for these whales in through each line and right through to the end. I thought it was just a wonderfully crafted poem. What did you think, Sawa?
Oh, I agree. A beautiful read, Luyu. I really like how she show her love. Not only that animals can heal us. It really is. There's this connection between animals, and studies proven this, like horses and so many others. And also we can learn from them, where she says, like how they connect, how they are connecting with each other leads to them with themselves, even in a dark place. And this is like a lesson for us. We really, like in dark places or in dark times, we should be there for each other too. That's what I felt with this poem. It's really beautiful. That's maybe not what she meant, but that's how I felt. Really beautiful.
I thought that was a wonderful comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Louie, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Well, you know, I agree with Sawa. You know, animals have a spiritual connection with us, and they have their own language. And if we listen, we can hear them, and they can teach us. And just like Sawa said, that's why a lot of different races study nature. They study the animal's behavior, and they learn to mimic it. You know, they're not destroying the earth. We are. And they teach us how to live.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Lou. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I'm going to have to agree with what's been said. This is a very powerful poem. You know, I do agree, you know, the whole, you know, nature itself and what, you know, the creatures of nature, you know, depend so much, you know, they have to depend on themselves to survive, let alone have to worry about us, you know, mingling in and, you know, having to worry a burden them, you know, with their own lives. It's just really sad when you think that, you know, we have to really literally, you know, pain for other fellow creatures on this earth, you know. We put more relevance to humans than we do to other fellow creatures on this earth. For some reason, we've become the hierarchy on this planet, and for that reason, we deem ourselves better and at the expense of others. And it's a very mm-hmm. sad poem. But I like her persistence and her conviction and for her passion, her affinity for. The love of whales. I love all animals. As, you know, I just wish that they could, you know, we could realize, you know, that perhaps they do love us too, and they do need some love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just take some time to realize that. You know, there's so much in our little world. You know, we're caught up in our little world. There, we don't realize there's something much more than our little 9-to-5 world. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Sawa.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Sorry, Louie, what did you think of the poem that you read? Oh, I already asked you that.
Yes,
would you mind reading for me, Sawa?
Yes. It is Dangling? Is this one?
Yes.
No.
Jack.
Okay. I think it wasn't read earlier on my imagination.
No.
When I was
told. No, you're imagining.
Okay, sorry about that. I think I saw it earlier. Okay. A jack dangling of particles, a dangling of particles, pens and partnerships, a mingling of minions, mobs and mendacity, a joining of jap, juniper and jingle. Poets then are but mingling, jingling, angling, dangling, hangers on, downward at angles, like bats from cave ceilings, a dangling of doggerel, wordsmith pounding poems into shape like blacksmith with horseshoes. Truth told, horseshoes have more value than the form. I'm sorry if I misread some words. I try my best.
No, that's absolutely beautiful. Thank you. But, you know, this is an interesting poem about the art of poetry and how... you know, the horseshoes have more value. Comparing poetry to horseshoes is a big step, but I thought it was a wonderfully crafted poem. And well read. Thank you, Zala. What did you think, Lou?
Well, this had me laughing towards the end, had me smiling as I heard Sawa reading, and it had me thinking because it's, you know, it's got a little bit of everything in there, you know, and but it was at the end where I got a big kick out of it where it says, you know, where he says poems. This was brilliant. Poems into shape like blacksmiths with horseshoes. And I could just see, you know, you could just, you know, if you know anything about horseshoes and horses and stuff like that, the work that it takes to get it adjusted and get it on right there and everything. And then, you know, but he says that, well, horseshoes are expensive. Having somebody put horseshoes on your horse is expensive. So I guess, you know, and not everybody buys poetry books. So... But they make great gifts, horseshoes or poetry books.
Such a great comment.
It depends, I would say.
Right.
Depends who you ask.
And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I have to say this poem was very creative, right? It's very witty. I like the alliteration in this piece here. It did a tremendous job there of keeping up with the use of the dangling of those participles, you know, dangling, mingling, joining, jingling. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not an easy thing to write, you know. I mean, and he also had, he brought in that humor aspect of this poem here. And I think that in a sense, you know, just like the craftsman's there, you know, who just brings his craft there. You know, there is always, you know, art in itself, you know, regardless of what, you know, what type of art is. It is a craft. It is a beauty of its own, you know, and it's a creation that we apply to. And in poetry, it's no different there. It does require the poet. The poem itself cannot breathe life if we don't breathe it, if it doesn't have breath to the poet. So this was just a very, it had a lot of good things there. And I really liked this whole poem there, you know, the way it was structured. But the metaphors were, and the humor were very much appreciative. I think he did. I think he does this type of poetry. No, if I'm not mistaken, he does these type of witty poems at times.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sawa,
what did you think of the poem?
I was so afraid that I started laughing. I was holding my breath, not too loud. I really was about to laugh in the middle. He's just really not only creative and humorous, but it has a serious message too. I love the mix of the three, and the wording is just fabulous. We are mingling and jingling, and we're hanging in the cave.
That could be some of it can sing that. Actually, if you think about it, that could be a song, a jingle for a song.
All right.
Somebody send it to Budo.
Oh, there we go. We do an infomercial there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have the next write up. It's by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud.
You're Under My Skin by Martha Gettle. Babe, you are under my skin. I think of you again and again. You make my heart beat fast every time that you cross my mind. I'm feeling things I never used to. Now my whole world turns around you. Baby, if you stay by my side, I'll be happy for the rest of my life. 'Cause you get under my skin. I don't even miss the way I've been. My heart is all wrapped up in you. You turn my cloudy skies blue. I used to think love was just a game, and I treated them all the same. But then you came along and taught me a brand new love song. 'Cause you get under my skin. I don't even miss the way I've been. My heart is all wrapped up in you. You turn my cloudy skies blue. Babe, I think of you every night. I dream of holding you tight. I have got you under my skin. Your love calls to me again and again.
Wow.
Absolutely. That was brilliant. I liked it a lot. You know, her own crafted song and her singing it was just a beautiful thing. You know, when somebody gets under your skin and that's how you want it to be, that's just a beautiful thing. What did you think, Sawa?
I really admire her because it's not easy to sing on like this online, and she did with such confidence. I love that. And the message itself, absolutely, she's so much in love and has someone who really changed her life. From, as she said, changed my cloudy skies to blue skies. I'm sorry. And she dreams about him all the time, thinking about him. Just show how much she's in love, really. That's so beautiful to see someone in love like this.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for that comment, Sawa. And Frank, what did you
think? My pleasure.
Well, I thought of that last choral line, babe, I think of you every night. I got on to it, I dream of holding you tight. I thought this poem was just a great rendition. This is the second time I've actually heard her sing. And I really like, she has just a soothing cadence, you know. You know, it takes a lot to really, I wouldn't say it takes the courage to sing. It takes the passion to want to sing. You know, and she seems to just have that that carefree passion to sing, you know, regardless, you know, of what she writes. She just brings that jovialness, you know, that the joy into her voice there. And I think that the poem itself does talk about, you know, a specific loved one there and how much that person really is meaningful and depth and meaningful in that relationship. And in those thoughts of memory, and when something gets so strong when it's under your skin there, that it does, it's either two things, my friend. It's either obsession or it's love. And I think in her case, it's love.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well said. Thank you, Frank. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, I think it's love because she says, "You make my heart beat fast every time." You know, when somebody makes that, you know, you just, your heart just beats and you know that you just want to gather them in your arms and wrap them around you. And, you know, there comes a time, you know, you know when you're ready to get in a relationship, and it sounds like she's ready to get in a relationship and have some sweet, sweet love. Yes. And I love Martha. I love her poetry. Excellent.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Frank, I have the next one up, if you wouldn't mind, please, by Mamyo.
Is it Mamyo, right? This is called Pressure in October 2021, and it goes like this. She's been holding on to her pin, ham, shaking minds, all blank eyes, staring into nothingness. Racking her mind for words to write down, her throat dry and still numb. Thoughts flutter by like dragonflies in summer. No matter how hard she tries to catch one, it flies away beyond reach. So she curls up, heaving, rattling breaths, afraid to write, afraid to speak, afraid to be. End of poem.
Well, that was beautifully read, Frank.
No, I appreciate that. I think the Yeah, powerful piece.
Yeah, absolutely. You can feel the anxiety in this and the need to connect with yourself and to break that down. And, you know, her throat dry, still numb, thoughts flutter by like dragonflies in summer. No matter how hard she tries to catch one, they just fly away beyond reach. So she curls up, heaving, rattling breaths, afraid to write, afraid to speak, afraid to be. Just epic emotions written through this beautiful poem. What did you think, Bella?
I love, how you say pressure, a cycle. It's true when you're under pressure, whatever the pressure, whatever the reason, it's really hard to put yourself into writing because it doesn't, you feel the pressure, and she definitely showed that. And you, as you said, it must be kind of sounds like anxiety and fear. It feels so real, the wording that her throat dry. There's, you can feel it in her mind and her body. And what matter she tries, you just cannot do it. It's the worst feeling when you feel like you can't write and there's fear to even try.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great comment, thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
I said when I want to write and I can't, when something wants to come out or be released, that is when I do the butterflies and try to capture their freedom. It is so very, or I go outside in nature and listen to the birds or watch the leaves blend, because it's when I have, it's almost like that pressure inside to write, but the words won't develop. So, sometimes we have to develop them, or sometimes or at least for me, I have to walk away and then come back and see if I can do it again. You really can't force it, because when it's, I read her writing, and she's very fluid and liquid, even for when she has writer's block. This is wonderfully expressed. Excellent pulmemia.
Great comment. Thank you, Liu. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to agree. I mean, there is I haven't really had recently, I'd say, or much of writer's block. I just don't have time. I don't know if they call it that or something, but I don't at times have time to really process and write poetry to an extent. What I like about Mamia is that she writes very powerful writes. I somewhat was able to hear the other one, and she's just a remarkable poetess. She doesn't hide behind the pin, she doesn't hide behind her shadow at times. She just expresses completely what she feels, what's going on in her mind. So this is very palpable, it's very tangible. And for some it can be fearful, but I think that it's just the way she is, and writers like this perhaps scare people to the extent of they think that it's just too much to relate to. But poetry in itself, or any in this case here, is beautiful when we read and we hear it in every aspect. Man, you have to understand that life is not just roses, it is also pain. To have happiness, you have to endure sadness, suffering. So she does an excellent job with just writing really, really raw, raw intensity. She writes in a very warm manner that's very powerful. I'm always amazed by her poetry.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have the next write-up by Thomas B., and it's called A Gathering of Poet Laureates. It was a forest of poets, works, words, images, leaves on branches made from metaphoric similes that the sap rising out of the roots, raising upward with the passion creation brings to life. These well-structured rhymes brought in balance by the syncopation of rhythms where words flowed along paths magically induced to pace truth till every breeze sang as it wove through the trees. The wild winds twinned, bound the divine in the vines, long and lingering, full of scents, where the aroma of words bent with sound and laden in meaning, bound the rich fruit to make heady wine, so the makers of song could twine the harmonies that rippled through the leaves. Poets, laureates from hill and dale, rovers of words feasting in the wood, glens, dales, and all along hedgerow. The glimmers of words are weaving like lightning bugs, promise, wonder, moments, when the heart beats forever's. I am amongst the gifted, awakened in the chambers of bells rung and toiled. So I have been fashioned and made aware. Reverse, modern, vision holds history. A vellum of mystery across understanding until a poet shows the veins of heartbreak, sinews of hope, well-muffled voices singing freedom when none had been there before. In the quiet after the hands have stopped clapping, in the space between voices where visions are born, poets speak, and we, the listeners, leave filled with a grander sense of the universe, ready to spread our wings, discover what magic light brings, and let the forest of poets provide the path to the stars. And that was based on his weekend he spent with poet laureates at some convention. So I thought that was beautifully expressed. Wonderful imagery, and you can feel the power of the words as you read through it. Just a wonderful job. What did you think, Sawa?
Remind me that of how old, in old times, all the poets used to, this was normal, like they get together and reading in Greek time and even after that. It just reminded me of some reason of that. You can feel how much it really left impact in him, where he said, the wine, and not only, especially with the wine, that's what reminds me when they drink and they read, and poets laureate from Hell and Dale were feasting in the wood, lands, days, and all along the glimmers of words are weaving. It really reminds me of that. And then he feels like so proud to be among them, those gifted laureates. And he speaks about himself as a poet shows the veins of heartbreak. That's who he is, just knows of hope. Well-muscled voice singing freedom when none had been before. Must be a great feeling to have this experience. He really wrote it with so much passion. It's very deep. Yep, there's so much in there. Yeah.
Well said. Thank you, Sawa. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, it's like being drenched and words and images and metaphors, people's personalities, their ages, what they see, what they write. You know, it's like getting a new book and opening it up and looking at all the beautiful imagery and words that not only inspired them, inspires others, but inspires us. And I really, really love that stanza where he says, because I could just hear them, you know, like if, you know, where we would go out in the woods and sit on, like Sal was talking about, old times where you would go out and sit in a coffee shop or go outside in a place where you're surrounded by nature. And then the winds start talking and the vines talk. And then it gets full of sense where he's saying it's the aroma of words. This was just wonderful. This is a beautiful poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Lee. And Frank, what did you think of the poem?
Well, first of all, I have to commend him on this right here. You know, Thomas is a very talented writer. You know, perhaps he doesn't want to hear the accolades here, but his poetry is very rich with not just only the metaphors he writes, but with the vision that he has. You know, he brings in this particular poem, you know, just wonderful elements. He reminds me, if I've said this before, of my favorite American writer, Sidney Lanier. If you get a chance to read some of his poems, you would find a little bit of semblance or resemblance of Thomas, this particular piece in particular, with some of Lanier's original writes. You know, he's been dead for years, so we're talking about someone who died in the 19th century, but he was very much influential, you know, in his poetry there. And I find the case with Thomas as well. You know, it's beautiful. You know, I'll be brief. I'll end it here. Beautiful when you can go to, you know, gather with other poets in this regard and be inspired not only by nature but by other fellow poets as well, and just get that inspiration, absorb you, be imbued by all that. That has to be a beautiful moment there, time there shared. So I thought he did a fantastic job there. It was a great poem, and it's always with him. He always brings great poetry.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you, Frank. Okay, the
You're
next
welcome.
Poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, will you?
Okay. And this is titled The Cycle by C. L. Howard. The smooth stones and stacks beneath the knotty pines and ash slumber in the grip of their mother, where her long fingers rest across their tops and down their backs, marring bygone days with ever-searching tendrils. And the simple stream rolls by, under the mighty hunter's gaze, washing echoes from the bedrock that it circles, until all memory finally fades in this valley of tomorrows, and the stony stack returns to earth and the meadow. End poem.
I just realized that we read this, but that was a wonderful reading.
It was a different poem, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? It was about the creek.
Yeah, this one's a little different. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, is it?
I don't remember the one. Maybe in the beginning.
Yeah, it says, this is about a creek behind my house where a long forgotten foundation is now covered in trees and roots. The roots crack the stone.
Yeah, we did.
And the stream weathers it away all under the constellation of Orion, i.e. the hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One day it will only be a meadow and all memory of the stone structure will be lost.
It's a good poem.
It is.
Yeah.
Well said.
It's still a great poem. It's still a great poem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for reading that, do you? But what did you think, Sal?
Again?
it seems like... to talk about just the cycle of life, really, again, that how this, he said it's until the memory finally fades. It's something that used to be, but it's not there. It's the memory, and it's disappeared, I think, from my understanding, or maybe I didn't get it. Slumber the great and their mother, where I love how he gives them, like, a personification, the mother, the fingers, and the tenders. It's like a human being who rests. And then they will come back until the memory finally fades in the valley of tomorrows and the stony stack returns to earth and meadow. Yes, it's there's always this cycle of nature and life that continue, even though... But I think he loves nature. He has attachment to it because it's not anyone would write about a stream or a stone that was behind the back. Must be some memories that hold in there as well. Really beautiful. He's a great writer. I enjoy his writing.
Thank you, Pam. I mean, thank you, Sal. And
it's that time of the night, Edgar. Right? You're forgiven.
Right. But what did you think, Frank?
No, I don't remember the whole comment I did last time, but I just found that it's the beauty of this poem was that part of remembering. You know, we are very fond of our memories, but it's very painful when we go back to places in our past, in particular our childhood, and these places are no longer there. You know, something is overlapping them, something created over them, and you know it is painful. But you know, the only recourse we have is just to keep on to the memories, you know. Memories we make with others is the most beautiful of all memories. Great poem.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And to you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know, I was just, you know, thinking about everything that Sawa and Frank said, you know, how beautiful Mother Nature is and our memories and stuff. But even though the landscape stays about the same because we can recognize where we're at, things do change because that's just the erosion of time and the erosion of nature. But our memory, we can still see it as it was in its pristine condition, and then we can still remember those images as we continue on with our life, because it's always with us, like Frank says. It's always there.
Yeah, I agree. Beautiful comments, everybody. And I'd like to thank you all for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time tonight. Much love, everybody.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Te amo.
Maranito ta.
Beso.
Maranito ta. Let's get some maranitos and empanadas, Elu.
And I do, just to let you know, on Wednesday, I do maranitos. Wednesday's my maranito day.
Oh, there we go.
You guys know what marranitos are?
No.
No drinks.
Okay, marranito is a baby piggy. And what it is, it's a cookie that's made out of molasses and brown sugar, and it's shaped like a little pig. It's like it doesn't taste like a brownie. What would you say it tastes like, Frank?
It's hard to say, because here, when I moved to Texas here, I started eating that, like maranitos and bananas and that stuff, and I still do now. I don't know what it is. I couldn't really tell you. It has a bit of gingerness. I can tell you, but I'll look it up. You know what?
Yeah, they all make
I'll look
it
up next
delicious.
Time. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll look it up next time. I buy one.
All right.
Maybe
all right.
You
love you guys. Good night. Buenas noches.
Thank you. Take care.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Hasta luego.
Thank you.
Bye. Bonne nuit.